book of Joshua. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, or the forbidden thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of God until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites or to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. This, friends, is God's word, and I'm trusting he will speak to us from his word tonight. Now, I read the tragic tale in last night's newspaper of the young policeman who was just a little bit late in doing something for his family. He ran out of time. He's a leukemia sufferer, and he was dying. But to provide for his family, he had to complete 10 years in the force. The 10 years were almost up, and very painfully he dragged his way to work every morning, hoping against hope that he'd have enough time to complete his 10 years to leave a pension for his wife and his children. Well, the battle for him is over. He died, and he lost. He ran out of time 2 months and 16 days before the 10 years were up. And I couldn't help thinking last night as I read that tragic little tale that the churches in this country are running out of time also. We haven't got days and days and weeks and months and years ahead of us anymore. And because time is of an essence, and because we haven't got years and years of time ahead of us to do what we should be doing, there is therefore no time for playing the fool. And the thing that breaks the heart of God, and breaks the heart of God's servants, and breaks the spirit of God's servants, is to see so many of God's people who are playing the fool, and seem to take no notice whatsoever of the clock as it runs out of time for us. And I want to say to you today that we as a church here in Kenilworth must beware lest we land up where Achan landed up when he stole that forbidden goods in the town of Jericho. He landed up in the Valley of Achor, which translated into modern parlance is quite simply this: the Valley of Troubles. And I could well entitle my message tonight, Trouble in the Church, because that is what Achan caused for the people of God, the Old Testament church. Trouble and defeat and misery and the judgment of God coming upon them. My friends, there is no more time left for anybody to play the fool. And I am convinced as pastor of this church that we as a family fellowship here at Kenilworth must get our priorities right before we can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a miracle working power to turn the people to God in these days. And I believe that the greatest weakness that we face as a local church here, and the weakness that plagues the church of God throughout our land, is just this: that not all of God's people are pulling their weight. There are those who are crippling St. James's Church tonight. And if you are one of them, my friend, I hope that God is going to do one of two things with you this evening. He's either going to drive you from this fellowship so that we can get on with the job, or else he's going to bring you to your knees in repentance and faith so that you can join the team. But we can no longer leave the amount of work that needs to be done to the regular handful who always have to do it. It's always nice to think of trouble in the church, nice juicy tidbits of scandal. But you know that when trouble comes to a church, when trouble comes to a church, when a church is facing a great crisis, when a church is facing great decisions, when a church is undergoing a difficult time, when there are undercurrents and when there are ripples, the principles of God's word holds true, and you can trace the cause back to one or two individuals upon whom the judgment of God is resting, and because it's resting upon them, it rests upon the whole fellowship. When God's people begin to love the world, when God's people begin to ignore prayer meetings, when God's people feel that they do not need Bible study, or their need for Bible study is only superficial, when God's people begin to get caught up with possessions and material things, then the time has come for some straight talking. Israel had a great victory at Jericho. You'll remember that great fortified city, and here the Israelites had just crossed into the promised land, and the first obstacle was a fortified city. And the great victory was quite simple. They didn't have to unsheathe the sword. God said, march around the city 7 times and blow your trumpets. And when they obeyed Almighty God, without unsheathing a sword, the walls fell flat, the enemy scattered, and they had a great and a glorious victory. A great victory. And then came a most miserable failure at a little city with 2 letters in its name, Ai. Ai. A city that in comparison to Jericho was nothing. A city that in comparison with the people of God was nothing. A city that by all human standards they should have overrun, not even blinked the eyes at it, and they failed. Why did they fail? They failed, my friend, because one man sinned. I want you to notice that tonight. One man sinned. Out of the entire Israeli army, one man sinned. And his sin had grave consequences that went throughout the camp of the people of God. For in the very first place, it brought guilt. And it didn't bring guilt only upon himself, but it brought guilt upon all Israel. And here is a lesson for all time. One man affects a multitude. And this is a principle that holds true to all of life, my friends. One man takes a young girl and introduces her to heroin. And an awful, vicious circle begins that affects the lives of countless numbers of people. One man takes a young boy and introduces him to his first drink. And an awful circle of circumstances takes place that affects the lives of a vast number of people. One man takes a young girl and seduces her. And an awful circle of circumstances begin to form that begins to affect the lives of everybody round about her. One man sins and all Israel is blamed. And I want you to notice the gravity of this one man's sin. In verse 11 of Joshua chapter 7, the sin is described in 3 ways. It is described, first of all, as the breaking of a covenant. You've broken the agreement I made with you, says God. And how many of you sitting here tonight haven't made vows to Almighty God which you've broken? Vows in the presence of God which have been broken. Vows to God which have been broken never, never go unnoticed. And God says you not only made vows that you broke, but you went as far as stealing. Stealing from me. And how many of God's people aren't stealing from him? Why, some of you stole tonight when those offering bags came around. And you never put into the bag, and listen, I'm not interested in your money, my friend. Neither is God interested in your money. Don't get me wrong. God's quite rich enough, thank you, without your money and my money. But what God is interested in is in your obedience. And here he says you have not only broken the covenant that you made with me and I made with you, but you have stolen. And now he says, I want to go further with you. And the case goes deeper. Not only have you stolen, but you have dissembled. You've covered up. You've disguised your sin. You have lied. And I see a mighty lesson here, my friends, because you see, our disguises never fool God. You sit in your seat tonight and you look so holy and pious, perhaps. And inside your heart is seething with all sorts of hatred and bitterness, which is not hidden from the eye of God. You may hide behind all kinds of intellectual arguments tonight, and it's all lies. It's a cover-up for the fact that you just, in a proud manner, in a willful manner, will not bow the knee to Almighty God. I can't see through your heart, but God can. I can only see the outward appearance, but the scripture says, God looketh on the heart. Nothing's hidden from his eyes. It's a serious thing to sin against Almighty God. Sin is a serious thing. It's always viewed in a serious light. It is always something that God views seriously and will not condone in any shape or in any form at all. And you know the tragedy about sin is that it always looks so harmless. Do you remember when you sinned this week, how harmless it looked? It always looks so attractive and so harmless. It always looks as if there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Well now, this is what Achan saw. He saw something that was attractive, and I wouldn't worry about the PA system, we'll just continue without it. And he saw something that was attractive, and something that glittered, and something that was good to the eyes, and something that was harmless, and so he took it. Who was going to notice that little bit of gold missing? There were the walls falling down, the dust was still ascending to heaven, people were running all over the place and shouting and screaming, and the victims were trying to get out of the way, and the Israeli army were trampling upon everybody else. And God said, you will not touch a single thing in the city. Who's going to notice? And I tell you that in the dust and the turmoil and the noise and the grit, God noticed. Just as he notices every single thing that happens in your home and in your heart. God noticed. Sin doesn't change its character. Eve did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. She looked in it. It looked so harmless and good. What harm would it do if I took just one bite? But God saw. God noticed. One man disobeyed God's trust. What's heaven's verdict? Heaven's verdict is this. Israel hath sinned. Not Achan has sinned, although he did. But Israel hath sinned. One man failed. And the whole army was defeated. Now I want to say to you tonight that God's people are a body. And you cannot act in any way without affecting each other. One cannot act without affecting the other. When one member of the church is guilty before God, when one member steps out of God's will, when one member steps out of God's blessing, the verdict of the all-searching eye of the Master is this, my people have sinned. And you have New Testament examples of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have an example in the church at Corinth of a man who committed adultery, fornication. And it was fornication of a particularly evil sort because it was incest. He'd actually taken his father's wife. And the Apostle Paul, writing to them, says this, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, listen to this, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's a man sitting in the audience tonight and his mind is filled with filth and lust. And I tell you that in a mysterious way which is beyond our understanding, your evil mind affects the whole congregation. There is a woman sitting in the audience tonight and her heart is filled with envy and covetousness. And your sin affects the whole congregation. There is somebody sitting in the audience tonight and you're filled with bitterness and hatred and resentment. And your sin affects the whole congregation. Somebody else is guilty of scandal and your sin affects the whole congregation. The whole congregation. Oh, my dear friends, I tell you tonight that we as the people of God cannot sin without affecting each other. And that is why in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book says this in the 12th chapter in the 15th verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now listen, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and listen to this, and thereby many be defiled. When a root of bitterness springs up in the heart, the scripture says, many are defiled. Many are defiled. And I tell you tonight, my dear friends, without any reservation whatsoever, that if there's one member of this church tonight living in sin, if there's one member of this church tonight who has lost his vision of Jesus, if there's one member of this church tonight who has lost his need for prayer, or lost his sense of urgency, or in some way has lost touch with God, you are affecting the whole church. The whole church. Did you hear me? The whole church is being brought to a grinding halt because of your own personal sin. You see, you are not lost in the crowd. And I ask you tonight from the bottom of my heart, as I must ask myself and examine my own heart, where would St. James's Church be tonight if you had lived a consistent life? Where would our church be tonight if your heart had been filled with love instead of complaint? Where would our church be tonight if you had made a habit of joining our prayer group? Out of this vast congregation here this evening, a handful joins the prayer meetings, comparatively speaking. Where are you on prayer nights, my friends? What is it that holds you away, that vies for your attention? Where would our church be tonight if you had felt the need to study the Word of God? Where would our church be tonight if you had personally been faithful with your money? Where would our church be tonight if you had been there when you were needed? I ask myself this question. Where would our church be tonight if I, as the pastor, lived nearer to God than I do now? If I had been more a man of prayer than I am? If I knew more and understood more of God's Word than I do? Where would our church have been tonight? And I must ask you from the bottom of my heart this evening, my friend, are you stopping the wheels turning by your own half-hearted concern for the things of God? I read in the newspaper just a few weeks ago, most interesting little tale. There was this Northern Transvaal rugby player who had a troublesome finger. And every time he played a game of rugby, the finger broke. And the doctors eventually said to him, look, you've got to stop playing rugby for a couple of years and give your finger a chance to heal, or else your finger has to be amputated. And the rugby player said, well, in that case, take it off. I prefer rugby to having a finger. And I thought of the people of God who come to our meetings who wouldn't give their little finger for Jesus and for the things of eternity. Oh, my heart weeps tonight. My heart weeps tonight. For I know that amongst those who are sitting here this evening, there are those who are faithful to the cause of God. Let me call for a prayer meeting, are they there? Let me call for a day of fasting, are they here? Let me say we need you at Cavendish Square, and there you are. And I thank God for those of you who are consistently faithful to Him. But I want to tell you tonight, my friends and members of this church, that too much has been left to too few. And God, looking down upon our church this evening, says, my people have sinned. Pronounces us guilty. 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 And I tell you that Achan's sin brought not only guilt, but it also brought defeat. In three areas it brought defeat for the people of God. In the first place, there was a wrong spirit which entered in. Well, you see, when we took Jericho, God did all the work. We didn't have to do anything. We were a helpless people, and we recognized that we were helpless, and we cast ourselves upon the mercy of God, and God did it all. All we did was obey His instructions, and we marched around the city, and lo and behold, the city walls fell. And God did it all. But not Ai. Because we're big deals now, you see. We can do it ourselves. Listen, Joshua, old boy, don't even bother to send a great army along. You only need about 3,000 people. That's all. Go and give them a scare, and they'll surrender. And a wrong spirit of pride entered in because one man sinned. Pride came in to the Israeli army. And then in the actual field of battle, they suddenly discovered they were weaker than they thought. And in an area where they should have been victorious, they failed and 36 of their men were killed. No response. Oh Lord, how many times haven't we had evangelistic meetings? There's been no response. How many times haven't we prayed for revival and there's been no response? How many times haven't we called
upon God to move the whole of heaven on our behalf, and there's been no response. The heavens have been as brass. There's been no response. Failure, failure, failure. Why? Because one man sinned. Are you the man? Are you the woman in this congregation tonight? With unrepented sin in your heart, and God knows it. God knows it. And all the forces of heaven have jarred to a halt. And judgment rests upon the congregation. Because one man sinned. And then there was the absence of God's presence. The absence of God's presence. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Listen to me tonight as I tell you this. Sin drives God away. Or God drives sin away. Sin drives God away, or God drives sin away. And the worst thing that can happen to you as an individual is to lose the presence of God. And the worst thing that can happen to you as a family is to lose the presence of God. And the worst thing that can happen to us as a church is to lose the presence of God. Friend, if God's presence is gone from our midst, close those doors. We're wasting our time. Put the lights out. We're wasting our time. Let's everybody go home. God's presence isn't here. And we're wasting our time. Oh, we thank God that the traces of His presence are here. But oh, how my heart just chills with the thought that if His judgment rests upon us for sin and He removes His presence, we'll be like Samson of old. When he admitted to Delilah in his lust and passion, where his secret lay, she cut his hair off. And she called for the Philistines to come. He got up and he shook himself and he said, I will go out as before. And he wist not that God had departed from him. Oh, what a tragedy to see a church shaking itself and saying, we'll go out as before to the three arts. Put the advert in the newspaper. They'll all come. We'll go out as before. Let St. James Union sing. They'll all come. Let the band play. They'll all come. We'll go out as before. We'll all sit with folded arms and enjoy the meeting. And we wist not that God has departed from us. Because one man sinned. One woman is sinning. And God has departed from us. I want to tell you that Achan's sin not only brought defeat and guilt, but it also brought exposure. Says God to Joshua, what are you doing there on your face? Why? Joshua says, Lord, we're having a prayer meeting. We've had no blessing. So we've called everybody to prayer to see why nobody's coming forward. And God says to him, get up. Get up, Joshua. This isn't the time for prayer. There was a time for prayer. You weren't there, remember? This isn't the time for prayer. Get up off your face. The reason why you failed is because there is sin in the camp. Get rid of that sin. Never mind calling upon me. There's a time for prayer and there's a time for action. And when it's time for action, you can pray till you're blue in the face. You won't get an answer from heaven. Get up and root that sin out. Joshua says, what do I do, Lord? And God says, you get the people together. I'll sort the man out. I tell you, my friend, God has got a habit of putting His finger on the guilt in our lives. And as you sit here under the sound of my voice tonight, I don't care who you are. Nor do you care who I am. Let me tell you, don't you worry about who I am. I'm a sinner as much as anybody else here tonight. God puts His finger on our lives and He says, thou art the man. Be sure your sin will find you out. Thou art the man. Doesn't matter how many years it takes. Thou art the man. You cannot run away from your guilt. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. There it is. The finger of God exposing Achan. Sorting him out from thousands of others. God saying, put away that tribe. Put away that tribe. Here's the tribe, and out of this tribe, here's the household, and out of this household, here's the family, and out of this family, here's the man. And I know people who get away with sin in this life. Oh, they'll get away with it, don't worry. In this life. But there will come a day of judgment. You be sure your sin will find you out. And Achan's sin brought judgment upon the camp. Achan and all of his family, his tents, the money that he stole, all of his goods, his wife, his sons, his daughters, his servants, all taken. The guilt of God was upon them. The judgment of God fell upon them, and they were killed. Killed. Oh yes, they were killed. God ordered their extermination. Why? Is he cruel? No, my friends, God isn't cruel. But he's unspeakably, he's indescribably holy. Holy. He will not tolerate sin. His judgment comes upon sin. Death follows sin as surely as night follows day. Death follows sin. And let me tell you that death will always follow sin. And if you are guilty of a sin in your life tonight, my friend, listen to me as I tell you. You will surely experience the death of prayer. And you will experience the death of fellowship. And you will experience the death of holy desires. And you will experience the death of spiritual understanding. And some of you are sitting here tonight who refuse to bow to God. You will experience the death of the soul. The last thing I want to mention as I close tonight is this. Achan's sin brought guilt and defeat and judgment upon the people of God. But do you know that it also gave them a cause for hope? The valley of Achor is the valley of troubles. That is where the man who troubled Israel was smitten. He and all his were killed. When I turn to Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15, I find a most amazing message from God. This is what he says. Therefore, behold, talking about Israel who had backslidden and fallen away from him, he says, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness. And I will speak comfortably unto her. I'll speak to Israel's heart. I love Israel. Oh, you backslidden and you're cold and you've fallen away from me and you've apostatized and you've turned your back on me. But I will speak to you. I will speak to your heart. I will try to lure you back to me. And I will give her vineyards from thence. And listen. And I will transform the valley of Achor into a door of hope. My friend, when there is repentance of sin, when there is confession of sin, and if you the guilty party tonight, God is speaking to you and you know it. When there is confession of sin, when there is repentance of sin, God takes the valley of Achor, the valley of troubles, the guilt, and all of the things that have come upon you, and he turns it into a door of hope. How? Because somebody came 2,000 years ago and died on a cross. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he entered right down into the valley of troubles for you. And he took upon himself his own, your guilt, on his own shoulders. He took upon himself all of your guilt, all of your anguish, all of your torment. And he hung as your substitute on a cross. And I want to tell you tonight that if you confess your sin and you repent of your sin, God can turn your valley of troubles into a door of hope. But my friends, I want to warn you this evening, with all the solemnity of my heart and with all the sincerity that I'm capable of tonight, I want to tell you tonight that if you do not repent of sin, you will bring this church to a grinding halt. And my plea to you tonight is this. Get right with God. Turn to him. Fall before him. Ask him for his mercy. He loves you. He'll restore you. Or please, please, for his sake, for the kingdom's sake, for the sake of those who want to get on with the job here in the church, leave the fellowship. Get right or get out. And our desire tonight, our longing, our prayer, our plea, our urging is for you to get right. tonight. Will you pray with me? Lord, it's so hard to know what to say. For there are people here tonight with great burdens on their hearts. Sins that are binding them and holding them. Unbelief and pride that will not let them go. Oh God, I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, you will release the prisoners. You will set the captives free. You will banish the darkness. And that you will cause your people to get right. Do it, Lord. Don't let anybody leave this church building tonight without first coming to God in a new way. Lord God, don't let go of anybody this night who is in need of you. Have mercy upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. My friends, my heart is greatly burdened tonight. I feel that the days are so urgent and there is no time anymore to put God off or to play the fool. If the sermon had nothing for you tonight, let me as a man speak to you this night and plead with you to get your heart right with God. Let me as a friend, as a pastor, speak to you tonight and say, get right with God before you go home. Now let's just bow our heads for the benediction. Now we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will rest and abide upon each of us, now and forever. Amen.